Welcome to Hungry for Answers with me, Robin Clare, recovery coach professional. Do you love food, alcohol, drugs, sex, social media, cigarettes, or gambling a little too much? The traditional narrative says that addiction to these vices is the problem. The truth is, they are just symptoms. This hit show takes you from recovery to your ultimate life as my special guests and I help you discover how underneath every vice is the addiction to the suffering that developed due to unhealed trauma. So what can you do? Hungry for Answers provides groundbreaking, proven solutions from my best-selling spiritual book, Feast and Famine, Healing Addiction with Grace. It's time to stop suffering and start living your ultimate life. You have a divine right to a life filled with love, joy, peace, and abundance. Hungry for Answers starts now. Hello, everyone. I'm Robin Clare, and you are listening to Hungry for Answers on Transformation Talk Radio. Because I was so hungry in my 40-year battle with food addiction, I wrote Feast and Famine, Healing Addiction with Grace, and this has transpired into this thought-provoking radio show. So stay with us for the next hour, and let us help you dive deep into the path from addiction to recovery and to living your ultimate life. Today, I have George Herrick here to discuss what folks caught in the addiction cycle genuinely are hungry for. We'll hear his perspective also on my book, Feast and Famine, Healing Addiction with Grace. George played a unique role in the book's production, and I am excited to talk with him about it. George is also a certified master life coach, recovery coach, and artist and best-selling author. Let's welcome George to Hungry for Answers. But before we do, I just want to tell you my personal George story. So I've known George probably my entire spiritual journey, and I've known him as a colleague and a friend. And what I think the role that George played in my life that maybe he may not even be aware of is that he was always my recovery mentor. As I struggled with my own addiction and my own recovery, I always looked to George to say, well, look, George did it. George got through addiction. He's in recovery. He's successful. He's a friend to many, a loving husband. I can do this. I can do this if George can do it. So George was someone that, as I said, was a mentor in my life, but he probably didn't even know it. So thank you, George, for being here. And I'm so excited to have you as my first guest.
Well, thank you, Robin. It's a delight, a treat, an honor to be here. And I didn't know that. I didn't know, I know how we influence each other. And I love that and I appreciate it. And it's really been true since day one. But I didn't know that I had as full an effect as that. And in some ways, I'm probably glad I didn't know that. Because
isn't that true, though, too? Like, we really don't know the influence that we have on people in our lives. And we don't realize that the work that we do on our own journey has such an impact on others. So I'm wondering, George, can you describe a time when you had a deep longing or hunger for answers for a situation in your life that seemed impossible to solve? Hmm.
Start off in the deep end of the pool, right?
Of course.
We always do. There's been many. I think for me, and for many people, many clients that I've worked with, it shows up initially as like a why me, why this, I thought I dealt with that, how can this keep happening? And so those questions played out in my jobs, my career. They played out in my relationships, and the longing was that I just wanted to feel alive. I just wanted my life to flow. I just wanted to feel like I belonged and I had a place in the world. And what kept coming up is the fears and the doubts and the I don't belong and I'm not enough and I'm, you know, all of that negative talk that that I realize is a part of the addiction process. Can I jump into that for a second about addiction?
Because sure.
I think it's there are basically four kinds of addiction. There's substance addiction, which is what we all recognize and understand. And when we say addiction, that's what we're usually talking about, drugs mm-hmm. and alcohol and that sort of thing. But there's also process addiction, which is a lot of what you talk about in your work, mm-hmm. food addiction and work addiction and, you know, internet and all of that. And then there's relationship addiction, which we used to call codependency, mm. and systemic addiction. And that's in some ways the sneakiest of all because it permeates everything. And that's where that that self-doubt and that low self-esteem and stuff just, I mean, that's where it lives.
Yeah.
And and All of us who have some form of addiction have that systemic addiction. Sometimes people call it addictive personality. I don't think there is such a thing
right.
as that.
And I think for me in my work, and we'll talk more about this in a little later in the show, is this systemic addiction for me was the suffering, yeah. was this idea that I kept wallowing in my own pain. And so a question for you, George, is what answers do you think folks are genuinely hungry for on the addiction and recovery journey? Like, where do you think they need to find the answers? And I know the answer in my own life, but I'm curious what you think is the answers that they're looking for.
It depends on how deeply into the addiction we are. I can say from my own experience and working in treatment centers and so on, when we're deep in the grip of the addiction and the suffering, we just want it gone. We just want mm-hmm. to feel better. We don't care how it happens. Just somebody wave a magic wand and I want to be better. But ultimately, where we find it really is connection. I mean, there's a meme that's going around these days that says the opposite of addiction is not sobriety. The opposite mm-hmm. of addiction is connection.
Yes,
and I
love
think
that.
That's really, really true.
It is
really,
very true.
And we discovered that a lot this past year with the pandemic, you know, without being able to touch and hug and even be in each other's presence. And consequently, the addiction rates absolutely skyrocketed off the charts.
Yeah, because I would agree with you. And I think people had two choices last year. They had a choice to disconnect along with self-medicate. And then they had a choice to connect and look at how can I take this time to improve my life.
Yeah.
So even in our home, Ori and I decided, okay, we can eat till they're going to roll us out of here. There was that meme where they had those balloon people that they were like coming out of their house, right? I'm like, yeah. That's going to be us if we're not careful. So we took a whole different route. We decided to really embrace food recovery. And mm. we decided to get healthy through eating and exercise and mindful eating. And we both took off the weight that we were carrying around. And it's just, it felt so much better in so many different ways. But there was that last year. And I sort of also believe that that was preparing me now to come on the show, because before I would have been like, well, I'm too fat to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm too fat to have anybody look at me. Like I would have had that playing in my head, like I can't be on the show. So I also think that, you know, when we talk about looking for answers, You have to look inside yourself, wouldn't you agree?
Yep. This is where it starts. Because, you know, I'm the only person, I'm the only constant in my life from womb to tomb, you know. Other people come and go, but I'm here always. If I can't connect with me, mm-hmm. I'm lost. And actually, I'll probably say more about it later in the show, but I think that's really key, because some people can't do that and have to learn right from almost like learning over, learning as a child would, how mm-hmm. to love themselves.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, huge. Because we did learn to not love ourselves as a child. Exactly. We were born into self-love, and then through humiliation, through bullying, or maybe even criticism, we learned to move into self-love. So let's just introduce Feast and Famine. So Feast and Famine, Healing Addiction with Grace, is a book that I read, I read it 100 times, that I wrote. I'm a channel for the spiritual realm, and I was guided by Sophia, the Holy Spirit, to write this book. And the central premise is that what we're truly addicted to is suffering, and then we choose our addictive vice or habit to feel better from the pain. And so I know, George, you were an early, early reader of this book because you did the cover, but just curious, when you read that Sophia, the Holy Spirit, said that our true addiction is to suffering, how did that make you feel as someone who has been on the recovery journey for many, many years?
Well, I think that's true. You know, the disconnection leads to longing. And the shadow side of longing is suffering. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we can live our longing with, you know, in the light and bring love and compassion to it, then we don't suffer. But, you know, when we can't do that, then suffering is inevitable. And yes. So I think you really hit the mark with that. I think this is a book that everybody really needs to read, because whether you're steeped in addiction or not, there mm-hmm. is something in this book that is going to speak to you around the suffering and around the role that plays in your life.
Well, I also think that everyone has a recovery story. Yeah. I think that because we've labeled addiction as things like alcohol or cigarettes or drugs, but, you know, everybody has their own addictive nature. Even watching too many shows on Netflix, right? Getting lost in somebody else's life. So I think when we come back from our break, what I'd love to do is talk about the beautiful cover that you made for Feast and Famine, and take a look at Sophia's divine healing path. And the four main points of that, and so simple yet so not simple. And so we'll see everybody when we return.
I have had such a good time on Tales from the Merworld Radio. It has been an opportunity for me to expand myself so dramatically and become much braver in my voice, to speak about the things that I'm passionate about that are a little bit out there. Your staff is amazing. Olivia is amazing. Jessica, everybody. Anytime I need anything, they show up right away. So thank you for having such an amazing team that is allowing me this platform to do what Spirit wants me to do.
Caring for someone with a life-altering diagnosis? You are a care hero. Navigating the unfamiliar options can be overwhelming, but you are not alone. Tune in to A Cup of Comfort with me, Trish Laub, twice monthly on Transformation Talk Radio. Let me guide you through your care hero journey by providing actionable information on how to care for a loved one in need. For more information about me, visit trishlaub.com. That's Trish Laub, L-A-U-B as in boy, .com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today. Or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We're back on Hungry for Answers with me, Robin Clare. For more information on me and my offerings, please go to clarity.com. That's clarity.com. My guest today is George Herrick, who is talking to us about our addiction to suffering. But before we continue, I want to make sure everyone knows how to contact you, George. Can you give us your website information or any way you'd like them to contact you?
Sure. Actually, I've got two websites. One is georgeherrick.com and the other is souldeep-living.com.
Great. Thank you so much. Sure. So let's talk about the cover of Feast and Famine. For me, yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
I knew that that was what needed to be done. And I knew that George had to be the one to do it. So we met for coffee a few times. We went back and forth on some ideas, but let's talk about the concept for the book cover, George, and why, what was your process and why you thought it was important to do it the way that you did it?
Yeah, the plate on the cover has the kintsugi, which is a Japanese term. The Japanese, when they have a broken plate or bowl or dish, rather than just throw it out, they put it back together with gold. And it's a way of honoring the brokenness. And given what you're talking about in mm-hmm. the book, it just felt so important to honor the brokenness that we feel and recognize that by through that honoring we can be whole again.
Yes.
You know, we're not disposable because we have an illness or because we go through the pain and suffering of addiction or the addiction of pain and suffering.
You
know, we're human beings and we deserve to be put back together.
And what I love about the plate too is that one half of the plate represents a feast, which is a beautiful clean plate, and the other half represents famine, which maybe it's dirty, it's broken a little bit, but it's all still one plate.
Yeah.
Because we are one person, right? Whether we're in a high of our life or a low of our life.
Exactly. And with one little chip missing.
One little chip missing.
Which I think is really important for us to remember that even with the pieces of ourselves that we feel we've lost or mm-hmm. we're still disconnected from, that doesn't diminish the value of our wholeness.
Right.
You know, wholeness means healing. It doesn't mean perfect.
But never. That's great. Thank you so much. So in Feast and Famine, what the messages that Sophia wanted to deliver was a healing path, a divine healing path for everyone. And it consisted of four steps before very profound life-altering facts. And so the first one, George, as you recall, was pain is inevitable. And just to describe that to everyone, so pain is inevitable. We are mind, body, spirit, and emotion. We are an integrated system. When something is bothering us in one of them, it ultimately affects the other three. We do not live alone. We do not live on a in a cave on top of a mountain. We live in this crazy world with pandemics, politicians. We can put those together, pandemics and politicians. Yeah. And so there's so much that can cause us pain. So what does pain is inevitable mean to you, George?
Well, I think of the Buddhist concept. But pain happens when we have attachments to something. You know, when I cling to something so hard, and I can't live without it, or whatever story I tell myself about it, and it's that attachment to it that really, it causes suffering. You know, the pain itself is simply a human experience. Every human being feels pain, and it's simply an emotion. And when we allow our emotions to flow, you know, emotion, energy in motion, when we allow it to flow, we can hold the pain without suffering.
Yes, thank you. I like that. So the second concept is suffering is an option. Yeah. And that one really resonated with me because I think we think of pain and suffering as the same thing. Or he has pain and suffering, she has pain and suffering. We think they go together. Yet we know that there are people who are in pain who are not suffering, and people who are suffering that are not necessarily in pain. And so I just love the idea of suffering is an option. And I don't think we knew that before. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah. I kind of just said something about that. When we hold the grip on the pain and hold it in shadow rather than just living it as a simple human experience, that's where the suffering comes from.
Yeah, and what I discovered as I moved further along on my spiritual journey, that suffering is an option for someone who still needs to suffer. But once you move from your spiritual path to your divine path, meaning when you embrace your divinity, suffering is no longer an option. And it's fun living in that part, that side of it more, because I realize I don't have to suffer. So great. It's even better now. It's even better. So the third part was surrender is required. And boy, I know this one well, George, because surrender is not, geez, I wish I didn't do this anymore. I wish I could get into recovery. I wish. There's no wishing in surrender. Surrender is, and everybody knows this who's listening, everybody knows that point where you say, I will never do that again. I am done. And it's truly that moment where you know how I know I'm in surrender. It's a simple thing for me. When I'm in surrender from something, all of a sudden, it could be 30 seconds, a minute, maybe a day, I have the answer to what I was suffering over. It's almost like that shower moment, right? When you're in the shower and you're like, oh my God, that's the answer. That requires surrender. What do you think about that?
Well, I agree. And I have a little bit different view of it that's not contradictory to what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So being human beings, my experience is that we let go, we surrender, and sooner or later, we pick it up again, you know? And I don't think human beings are a one and done. From my perspective, I think that's just part of the earth walk, and part of the lessons and the growth. That surrender, I mean, it's an action. It's an action. I have a silly way of talking about surrender, with my clients. So let me just show you. So if you hold on to a pen,
yeah,
and imagine that the pen is your longing. This is what I want. This is what I'm craving. This is what's important to me. And the more I feel threatened that it's going to be taken away or that I'm going to lose it, I cling tighter and tighter. And pretty soon I'm white knuckling. And if I keep clinging to it, my whole body starts to tense. Well, surrender is simply holding it loosely or letting it go.
Great.
Oh, but then I'm not going to have it. Well, yes, I still have it. It's right there in front of me. It dropped on the table. And so I can pick it up again. And if I lose it, I can reach in the drawer and there's another one, because the world is an abundant place.
Right.
And so the very thing that we're afraid of losing, the more we cling to it, the more we suffer, and the more addictive, the more addictively we live it.
I think so
too.
But
in the surrendering, we're able to accept that life itself is a flow.
And the fourth one is perfect for continuing that conversation, because the fourth one is grace must be allowed. And grace is around us everywhere, all the time. We live in a state of grace. We just don't always know that. And probably because we're clutching the longing. And so when we say grace must be allowed, sometimes we're not sure we're going to allow it in, because it has served us. The suffering has served us. It's protected us, perhaps, from something that we didn't want to look at in looking in our own trauma. But we must allow the grace in. So we've also played different roles in our families, and we've become this person who's everybody thinks of as suffering, or everybody thinks of a different way. And we have to learn how to change the role in our life. So the longing, just to add on to that, when you let go of the longing, most likely the grace will arrive to help you to achieve what you most long for. It can't come when you're clutching it, because most likely when you're clutching it, you're living in the past or you're afraid of the future. But when you let it go and you allow grace in, you're living in the present moment, and the grace will come to you. The answers will come. Whatever you need will come.
Exactly. When I'm clutching it and I'm not opening my hand and allowing, I'm not even allowing grace. I'm not allowing higher power. I'm not allowing God, whatever you might call it. I'm holding against that. And so, the questions I ask myself are, what action do I have to take? What action do I have to stop taking? And what do I have to simply allow to happen?
Yes.
And embrace.
And it always comes, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're going to take another break. I'm Robin Clare, and you're listening to Hungry for Answers. When we come back, George will explain to us his thoughts on what's next after recovery. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You know, marriage is not always easy, but skills that improve communication go a long way. Tune in to The Relationship Rehab Show, Recovering Happiness in Your Love with Nancy Landrum and Dr. Pat each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Nancy is an author and teacher empowering couples to create and sustain loving marriages. Learn to listen, speak, and handle conflict with respect so your love can flourish. To learn more about Nancy and her work, visit NancyLandrum.com.
Can't get enough of Eye of Soul Radio? Join psychic medium Jamie every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Take a deeper look at the raw side of spirit. Nothing is off limits. Connect with lost loved ones and explore these vulnerable subjects with the compassionate guidance of psychic medium Jamie. You are not alone. Eye of Soul, Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? you. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to the show Heart Change Consciousness with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show, Heart Change Consciousness, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi there, we're back on Hungry for Answers with me, Robin Clare, and I'm here with George Herrick. And George and I were talking a little bit on the break about this idea he had mentioned in the last segment, that this idea of that what we are suffering about will return. And we both agree that it's like a spiral. And for me, the reason why it comes back, the reason why it's twofold for me. One is we haven't learned what our soul intended us to learn from it. And two, we haven't completed our inner work to understand the trauma and to make that person, that little person inside of us, the child inside of us, or the teenager, that part of us, or the adult part of us, feel safe. And the only way that we can really do that is by doing our recovery work. So this segment, George, is about recovery and what's next for people, and how they can ultimately define their life purpose. So let's break that down. Let's talk about what it means to have a sustainable recovery, and what does it look like for you?
Well, I think to take a look at my recovery, I have to take a brief look at my addiction and where it brought me. I mean, no one wakes up one morning and says, gee, I could be a doctor, a lawyer, have this amazing career, or I could be an addict. Oh, that sounds like a good idea. I think I'll choose that one. That just doesn't happen.
No.
And yet my addiction, my inability to connect with my heart and soul, my inability to connect with love, my attachment to suffering led me to the streets. And I had car accidents, and I lost jobs, and I was arrested, and I was suicidal. I mean, my life was a mess. And there was something inside of me, some spark that never got put out in the process of all of that. And I began to recognize that I wanted to live my life, but I didn't know how. Mm-hmm. And so I think that little piece of honesty was really that was the hook that turned things around for me. And so when I started going to 12-step meetings, and I saw that other people had a life, and I had no clue how to do that.
Yeah.
I started to pay attention and allow myself to be teachable and follow the suggestions that took me forward. And the rest of it has just been, keeping a beginner's mind and staying teachable to keep learning. It's not that we're learning the old lessons over and over necessarily. It's more like we're going deeper, like you said. There's something else for me to learn about this.
Yes. Yeah. And my journey was more interesting because I became a spiritual teacher and a spiritual author. And in fact, I was still so engaged in my addiction to obsessive compulsive food disorder and bulimia that I actually wrote Feast and Famine the first time in addiction. Hmm. And at the end, I was like, well, I hope these teachings work for you. They didn't work for me. So have a nice life. And then And then once I hit rock bottom with a bulimic session, that just, I knew I was bleeding, my head was throbbing, my organs were inflamed. I knew that if I did this anymore, I would no longer be on the earth. Mm-hmm. And so here was my journey as this highly regarded community leader, spiritual community leader in addiction. And so for me, it was the journey of certainly coming out of recovery, but also my journey of coming out of addiction, but also this energy of feeling like a fraud at times. Like, why am I sharing information on how to live your ultimate life with anyone when the perception was that I was, but inside of myself, I wasn't. And that's why I believe that sustained recovery requires us to see ourselves as a congruent being, meaning that our mind and our heart are in alignment with our purpose and our voice that we're sharing. And do you have any thoughts you'd like to share on that?
Yeah, no, I think that's right on the money. Again, not perfectionism can be a form of addiction. So it's not that we're going to get this perfectly, but the process and the practice of knowing who and what I really am, mm-hmm. coupled with a sincere attempt to become what I can be, and keep moving forward with a life that I choose to live, that I want to live consciously. I think that's what you're talking about.
And in alignment with your soul, right? Yes. You need to live in alignment with your soul, because your soul has been guiding your life since the moment you incarnated. There are lessons that you came here to learn. You actually hired your cast of characters to come with you, like your parents, your siblings, your friends, your perceived enemies. They're all here at your request to help you fulfill your soul's destiny. So to me, your ultimate life purpose is your soul's destiny. Mm-hmm. And you have to quiet yourself enough by removing the trauma patterns in order to be able to hear your soul's guidance. And that has been, it's been funny for me, George, because it's like I did all of that, then came into recovery. Mm-hmm. But that's probably because my spiritual mantra is bring it on. And so I think my guides were,
I know that about you.
Yeah. My guides were like giving me everything that they could. And then eventually knowing that I would pull it together in time.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like this show is this pulling together for me of everything that my guidance has shared with me, everything that I've lived, everything that I've been exposed to. And I see that all the time. It just keeps unfolding. Because you mentioned that, the unfolding. Can you talk a little bit about unfolding?
Well, yeah. I mean, where I'm at in my life right now is very similar to where you're at. You know, Soul Deep Living, this new program that I just began, that's bringing together all the stuff that I've done in my recovery over the last 40 plus years, the shamanic work and the artwork and the coaching and just everything wrapped together in a package of, you know, who am I? What am I capable of? How do I bring that into the world? And for what purpose? Who do I serve? And so that unfolding, I mean, I almost laughed when you said something about removing the trauma response or removing the trauma something. And I had this cartoon-like image of just reaching in and, okay, here's the trauma. Let me take that out. And I mean, we both know it doesn't work that way. The trauma is a part of us, and it's here for a purpose. It's here to help us to grow. And I think a huge piece of the healing is to listen to it, not from the standpoint of taking direction from it, but to listen to it from the standpoint of, what if this trauma that I experienced is actually a spiritual guide, that if I listen, it will, I mean, it's almost like a, like the Hayoka shaman that mm-hmm. shows you what's not working in order to teach you what is working. And so by meeting the trauma and bringing compassion to it rather than seeing it as an enemy or a problem.
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden everything gets completely shifted.
Yeah.
And that's where the transformation can happen.
Yes, I agree.
Because
I want
to get a chance to evolve rather yeah. than stay stuck.
I was thinking while you were sharing that I was in doing some work with in my own therapy session, and my therapist took me to a playground, and on the playground were all the different parts of me playing. Some were playing, some might have been sitting in the corner reading, maybe crying over there, whatever was going on. But by the gate to the playground was one part that was sitting there like this. And I'm like, oh, I got to talk to that one. So I went up to that one and I said, who are you? You know, and this one was guarding the gate so that no one could come in my inner gate, right? In my inner world, right? Yeah. And I said, who are you? And the gate, the part said to me, I'm your anger and I'm here to protect you. Mm-hmm. And I looked at this part and I said, oh, how about if we give you a new role? How about instead of being angry and protecting me, you become my passion? And the part said to me, I'd love that because I'm really tired of this job of holding anger inside of you, Robin. And so I have taken that part that would be angry or disappointed about things in my life and moved it into a role of passion. Isn't that great?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because that's what it is. I mean, you know, actually, isn't it interesting that in Greek, you know, the Greek for suffering is passion.
Mm-hmm.
Compassion yes. means to suffer with. Not from the standpoint of necessarily all the pain, but carrying the burden together. And so what you did was you had this conversation with your anger and asked it, would you carry my burden with me rather than keep it away from me?
And, yes.
And it became passion for you. I mean, that's the work.
That's the work for sure. So, yeah. George, before we go to our next break, can you share your contact information one more time for our listeners?
Sure. GeorgeHerrick.com and souldeep-living.com.
That's great. That's great. And what about in Facebook and Instagram?
Instagram, I don't do. Facebook, I think it's GeorgeHerrick.
It's, yep, at George Herrick.
At George Herrick, okay.
Yeah. That's great. So I'm Robin Clare, and you're listening to Hungry for Answers. We're going on a quick break, and when we return, George and I will share with you how we are both living our ultimate life in service to others. We'll be right back.
The truth is funny. Shift happens with monthly guest host Karen Benton. Tune in for powerful conversations about health and wellness. Karen brings unique insights rich with humor and science to her discussions with experts in medicine, movement, psychology, spirituality, and so much more. Don't miss Karen on The Truth Is Funny every third Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Hi, my name is Diane McClay. I'm comfortable being in front of people. How to make things work in a structured format made me feel a little nervous. Everybody I have worked with on the Transformation Talk team met me with enthusiasm. Their confidence in me spilled over to me and allowed me to just grab onto it and say, oh yeah, that's me and I can own it. Thank you for showing up for me. Thank you for allowing me to put my gifts into the world. And thank you for making me look good while I do it.
It's your turn to reclaim your life. Experience the unmitigated joy of breathing life into your own passions, into your own purpose, with me, Life Coach Ricky Schwartz, at MyTurnLifeCoaching.com. In the meantime, tune into my show, My Turn Life Coaching, live every second and fourth Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
What we've been taught and told is not all there is. Life is all about energy, and the energy you feel is real. Tune into the energy paradigm each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com with Dr. Vic. The energy paradigm is an eye-opening, mind-shifting, transformative, and earth-shattering way to live, work, and do business that will enable you to unlock your magic every day. Visit TheEnergyParadigm.com.
Welcome back to Hungry for Answers with me, Robin Clare, and my special guest, George Herrick. And it's this time in the show that we talk about how we are living our ultimate life in service to others. So, George, what's new with you? I feel like there's something new every other day with you.
Yeah. Part of the creative life. You know, it's one of my greatest blessings and one of my greatest curses, and probably one of my addictions, is that the next shiny object always draws my attention. But I've been, I mentioned before about Soul Deep Living, and I just started a group. Actually, we just started last night. And that really is where my focus and my attention is right now, because it does bring my artwork, my passion for art, and my passion for the shamanic work and nature and meditation and coaching, and brings it all together in what feels to me like a really delicious way that, mm-hmm. that creates not just possibility and potential, but really has the, well, what we experienced already is it's created a transformation in the group just in the first night. So yeah. So I know I'm onto something.
Yes.
I think that happens when you know this, because you're doing it. When you bring all the pieces together into something larger than yourself with a purpose that's larger than yourself, just buckle up, because the universe is going to run with that.
Yeah, I agree with that, because that's how I feel about my writing coaching mm-hmm. program. I was trying to figure out, I too used to have a habit of, I would be divinely guided to do something, and I'd be like, when, now, how high, jump, what, now, okay, let me do this, right? And so I would have all these things out. And I said, what should I do? What's new for me? And what's new for me? I have so many things going on, right? Like, I need something new. And the message I received was, follow your books. And so I looked at all of my books, and what I discovered in my books was the journey from spiritual to divine, meaning the journey of like being on the spiritual path to becoming your spiritual path. And so one of the things I love to do in that is to help others write their recovery story. Now, this doesn't sound like they go together, but recovery takes a certain level of spiritual development, I think, to stay fully sustained in your recovery. And in Feast and Famine, I had done a survey, and I discovered that most people successful on their recovery journey have gone on their spiritual journey as well. And so what I love to help people to use writing as a recovery. So when you write your story, you heal yourself. And then if they want to share it, I help them to create a manuscript that has the potential to be a best-selling self-help book. So I just love the idea of taking everything that I've done, because isn't it true that everything that we've experienced has been training, I think, to bring us to this exact moment in time, just like this radio show. If I hadn't lived my addiction journey, my recovery journey, my spiritual journey, my life journey, my family journey, I wouldn't be sitting here with you. Everything is leading to this exact moment in time, and I just want people to really know that. There's no mistakes. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, picking up on something that you said at the beginning of that, I think sobriety opens us to the possibility of spirituality, mm-hmm. and whether we accept it or not. And if we accept it, the spirituality then opens the door to recovery.
Oh, wow.
And that's the sort of sequence that I've witnessed over and over and over in people, and certainly experienced in myself, and have witnessed in you.
Yes.
So
yes.
Let me tell you a funny little story. So I started off in 12-step, and my particular program was AA. So one of the first meetings I went to, I was in Simsbury, Connecticut, and there was this little old woman. I mean, she had to be 80 at the time. And her name was Inga. And she said, I can take all of the AA literature, all the 12 steps, and sum it up in three phrases. Know yourself, love yourself, share yourself with other people.
That's great.
And that's exactly what we're talking about. And that's what my book is about. You know,
yes.
I focused the primary energy of the book is about my healing from cancer. But I can't talk about recovery from cancer without talking about recovery from addiction. They're so intertwined. And they're so, the process of the diseases are so similar to each other. So so that's what I did, was get vulnerable and tell people, this is what I'm experiencing in a raw, real, relatively unabridged way. I didn't feel a need to get into all of the gory graphics, but I wanted my emotional life and my spiritual life to be raw and real and vulnerable, because otherwise I knew I wouldn't heal and I wouldn't serve anybody else.
Yeah, so let's talk about your book, your lovely book. Tell us more about that.
Well, the title is Stone Warrior. The subtitle is Confronting Life's Dark Challenges with Stone Art and Meditation. And what I've been doing for years is making cairns, you know, stacking stones, mm-hmm. and writing meditations about them. Sometimes I'll write the meditation first, sometimes I'll stack the stones and write a meditation about it. And so this book is a collection of the cairns and the meditations since I was diagnosed with cancer and had the surgery and have gone through treatment for the cancer. So it's very, although I've been doing the cairns and the meditations for years, this is focused on recovery.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I had a wonderful cairn lesson from George on the beach. I got to make my first couple of cairns. It's really beautiful. It's such a... Yeah, and it's up in Rockport. It's such a wonderful way of meditating. Mm-hmm. And as is all of your art, you know, your art has hung in my, well, it hangs in my home. And it's hung in the spiritual centers that I have. And, you know, I just love it. I love the Native American influences and all of the influences that you have. So we see some of your work behind you, and that's so great.
Yeah.
So talk to us just a moment about the new show. Well, it's not a show, but the program that you have, Coming to the Fire.
Coming to the Fire. So it's a brief journey. It starts next week, next Monday. And I'm collaborating with Suzanne Hanna, who I collaborated with in creating the Wilderness Walk. And also Joy Kingsborough. And the process of Coming to the Fire, it's done virtually from the standpoint of there's a post every day on Facebook to respond to, and then we in turn respond to that to help guide you through the process. And we're going to end at the end of the week with, I'm going to lead a very brief fire ceremony.
So how can people get more information on that, George?
Yeah, I believe it's cometothefire.com.
I think it is. I just signed my husband, Ori, and I up today. So, great. George, we're coming to the end of our hour.
Wow.
And listen, everybody, if you're suffering and struggling with addiction, please know that healing, recovery, and living your ultimate life are possible for you. Know that you are never alone, and you can seek traditional help, and you can also connect with your own inner wisdom and spiritual guidance. As a writing coach, I know that everyone has a unique recovery story, and with encouragement and guidance, you can use your unique life story as a healing tool for others. Please sign up for a free 30-minute consultation on clarity.com, clarity-ity.com, to tell me your unique recovery story. I want to thank you, George Herrick, for sharing such great information. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in to Hungry for Answers. I had a wonderful time. Please join me on the first and third Thursday at noon Eastern and 9 a.m. Pacific time. On my next segment, we will be chatting about what's your vice and do you like it a little too much, with world-renowned transformation author, teacher, and spiritual mentor, Linda Robeck. Stay healthy, stay connected, and I'll see you next time. Thank you, George. Thank you for tuning in to Hungry for Answers. Learning to love ourselves is the one true solution to addiction. Make a commitment to healing today and see how you can reach your ultimate potential. Remember, you have a divine right to a life filled with love, joy, peace, and abundance. To learn more about me and my offerings, please go to clarity.com. That's Claire, clarity-ity.com. See you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.